going to sing that song again. Hosanna in the highest. Let our King be lifted high. Hosanna. Sing it one more time. Hosanna in the highest. Let our King be lifted high. Let our King be lifted high. Hosanna. Just begin to appreciate him. Just begin to worship him. Give him all the glory, give him all the honor, give him all the adoration due to his name. Bible says, unto him be all glory and praise. Unto him be all the adoration. Let's just worship him. Let's bless him for this opportunity to be in his presence. Let's appreciate him. Bible says, blessed is the man that God will seek and pull to come to him. It's a privilege to be in the presence of God. It's a privilege to experience him. It's a privilege to be before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just worship his holy name. We bless your name, Holy Spirit. We thank you, mighty God. We worship you forever, both now and always. We extol your holy name, Daddy. We just want to say, be praised, be lifted high, King of all kings, governor of the nations, ruler of generations, be worshipped forever, be praised forever, be lifted high forever, in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of the Most High, we invite your presence like never before, that you will come and sup with us, that you will come in your fullness, you will come in your power, you will come in your mightiness, Lord, and you are going to bless us tonight like it has never been before, in the mighty name of Jesus. Daddy, we look up to you for the loaf of bread from you today. I pray you will open our eyes of understanding and you will break the bread before us. May each of us live here transformed, Lord, and let Jesus alone be glorified. Thank you for answers to prayers. Continue with us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. We can be seated in the presence of God. I would want to first of all appreciate the leadership of the church, Apostle and Mama Efezino, for this privilege to share with you today. I don't take it for granted, because anytime you stand before the congregation of God, it is an honor, and I want to appreciate the leadership, and most important, I appreciate God Almighty for this privilege. I pray God himself that commissioned me to come at this point will minister the right word for you today in Jesus' name. Today, I will be speaking on a topic I tagged, Wanted, an Initiator. Wanted, an initiator. One thing we see today is that God is looking for people. God is looking for that person. God is looking for just one man. God is looking for just one woman. He's still beaming his searchlight around. I am looking for someone who will be able to initiate something. We are going to understand what initiating things mean today. We are going to understand what God is looking out for in our time. Praise the Lord. God is looking for generators. People that will start something and that thing will cause a rippling effect all over. in anywhere we find ourselves. That is what God is looking for today. In our generation today, we see what is happening in our world. God is looking for someone. God is looking for someone. In the scripture, God was saying, I was looking for a man. I sought a man. And I found none. But in our own case, may God seek a man and find us. In Jesus' name. So we are going to be looking at a scripture, going through it, and linking up with other scriptures. And we are going to see what happens when a person chooses to go out of the norm and say, I want to partner with the Holy Spirit so that God can trigger something in our generation. God will do it for us in Jesus' name. And I want to say that our generation here could infer so many things to so many persons. So you might be saying, oh, I don't know. I'm not concerned about so much about my generation. God might be leading you to initiate something in your family. There might be a problem, a challenge God wants you to take some steps on. There could be a challenge in your neighborhood that God is saying, I want you to initiate this. God is looking for someone. God will grant us insight and understanding as we continue in Jesus' name. So we're going to start by looking at the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel 14. This is the story of someone that most of the time we only reckon with him when we talk about his relationship with David. But beyond this relationship with David, there were some profound things he did that generated victory for the people of God. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to go along with it. At some point, I'm going to pause to make some explanations. Praise the Lord. God will grant us insight in Jesus' name. So it says, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bear his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, and the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozes, and the name of the other, Senem. We are going to pause here. Bible tells us that at this time, now, when the Bible is referencing now, it means that something happened before. And I will just give us a summary of what happened. Saul was faced with a battle with the Philistines. And he was supposed to wait for Samuel to carry out a sacrifice. But when he saw that the people were leaving him, they had an army of about 3,000 going against a higher, a mightier army from the Philistines. And so out of pressure, Saul decided to take the role of a priest. He tried to usurp the role out of whatever form of pressure he faced. But it was totally against the will of God. And God was cross with him. And God took the leadership away from him. But there was no concern. Saul was not bothered. There was no sign to show that he actually repented. He just felt, oh, it's just one of those things. But one thing that happened there was that there was a depletion of the glory of God. There was a depletion of the presence of God in the camp of the Israelites. And it was so bad that Saul eventually had just 600 men with him. Others had gone, ran away. He had just 600 men going against a great army. I think, let me just see where he talks about the number. They gathered 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. That was the number of armory that the Philistines had against 600 men. So you can imagine with me what it would look like. It would have been a very tough one for them. But what happened? It was so bad that the Philistines had already surrounded Israel. And the Bible tells us that there was not a single blacksmith in Israel. What they did was that they went for their source of industrial revolution. If you understand industrial revolution, what happens is that it's usually associated with steel. Every country that is industrially revolutionized, they first of all understand how to make the best of steel. Because steel is the basis for many, many things we do. Construction, you need steel. To build cars, you need steel. So in so many areas, steel is needed. But in this case, the tools they needed to work needed to be done by a blacksmith. The ammunition, the sword, the spears they needed to act needed to be provided and fashioned out by a blacksmith. But the Philistines, they understood this and they made sure there was not a single blacksmith in Israel. So he had impoverished Israel. The Philistines had impoverished Israel to the point that they couldn't even have any tool. For any tool they needed, they had to go to the land of the Philistines. That was a bondage. Bondage comes in different dimensions. There are some bondages that will say, okay, go not far. You are free. But at some point, there is a drawing back. That person makes some progress, and before you know anything, you come back to the same position. Or sometimes you come back worse than ever. It could be addiction. It could be addictions of whatever sort. That person takes steps. Oh, I want to deal with this. And there is some progress. Suddenly, you see the person step backwards. You would say, oh, from now on, I choose not to toy with sin. And you find out that after a short while, it looks like everything is going on well. Just after a short while, you find out you are drawing back again into sin. That is a form of bondage. Bondage comes in various forms. In the case of the Israelite, the bondage was what? We will still give you your freedom. You are still a nation, a sovereign nation. But you must rely on us for everything. That was as bad as that. And not only that, it wasn't sufficient for them. They kept on terrorizing the Israelites. Saul had become a laughing stock. So that was the situation of the Israelites. They could not make any progress, any headway. Why? Because they had already been subjected to intense bondage. I don't know that bondage you are going through or you have been subjected to. Your story is going to change tonight in the name of Jesus. Because the word of God is going to be sent to you. And it's going to deliver you from your distress in the mighty name of Jesus. Bible says he sent his word and his word healed them and it delivered them from their distresses. Man is usually God's method of bringing victory to man. Amen. So God, when God wants to bring victory to a person, God usually would use a man he has inspired, a man he has sent to bring victory, a man who is ready to partner with God, a man who is ready to make himself available for God to use. And then victory begins to happen. Amen. So, I believe we must have understood the situation of the Israelites. They were in bondage, no blacksmith. So for them to farm, they had to go to the Philistines and paid about half a silver coin just to get a plowshare, something they would use to plow the field. It was as bad as that. But what happened? That's where it introduces us to chapter 14. Jonathan. They were just 600, and Jonathan chose to say, let me step out of the usual. You know, it's so easy for us to stay in our comfort zone. It is so easy for us to complain about all what is happening around us. It is so easy for us to do the commentaries. Why? Because talk is cheap. But God is looking for someone who will trigger something. God is looking for someone who will be a catalyst. And I see that someone in the house today. I see that someone listening to us and watching us through the airwaves. God is going to trigger you to trigger something happening in the mighty name of Jesus. So just like what we said, Jonathan, he went with his armor bearer. He said, oh, let's go out. Let's go to the Philistines' garrison. And both of them, just two persons, they went there. And Bible tells us in verse 4, it says there was a sharp rock on one side. So it wasn't an easy journey to get into the camp of the Philistines. Do you know that getting into the camp of the Philistines was just like a death wish? You want to just commit suicide. That was it. 600 people could not face an army of over 30,000. Let alone just two persons. I don't know what was wrong, what was happening to him then. But I saw that there was something, there was a seed God sowed in his heart. That come. We are going to see what that seed was as we move further. So Bible tells us that he went and he faced an opposition first, a sharp rock on one side, Bozez and Senem. In verse 5, it says, the forefront of the one was situated northward over against Michmash, and the other southward against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bear his armor, remember we said he went with his armor bearer, come, let us go over to the garrison of this uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. That was that trigger point. He said, let us go. Verse 6. He says, let us go to that place. The last statement there, he says, for there is no restraint. God is not limited to saving by one person or by many. The most important thing is that God gives victory. Praise the Lord. So it doesn't matter if God uses a group of people or one person. What is certain is that when God steps in and uses man, God will surely get the victory. Hallelujah. So there is someone here that can partner with God today to deal with the issues in your family, to deal with your personal issues, to deal with the issues, opportunities, even in the church. You might look at yourself and say, I don't have the ability. Who says so? And he says that statement, there is nothing God cannot do. Even with one person, one with God is majority. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. And so he moved on. The armor bearer supported him. He said, do what's in your heart. Turn thee, Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. And that's one thing we see. Sometimes we need the support of others. You can't do it alone. Allow God lead you to someone that will encourage you in that thing that God has dropped in your heart. God dropped something in the heart of Jonathan. And that was why Jonathan was so much consumed by it. This morning, Apostle was preaching. He was talking about preaching. He said, I'm not going to speak again. He says what? The word of God was like fire in my bones. I just couldn't keep it to myself. Hallelujah. An a cappella song we used to sing then, we'll say, I said I wasn't going to tell anybody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. What God has done for me. So you might say, oh, I want to just hold it. But I tell you, whatever thing God deposits in you does not just stay silent. It begins to work. It begins to work. It begins to work. Praise the Lord. It begins to make you feel uncomfortable. Because what? It is looking for an expression. It's looking for a form of expression. That gifting, that grace, that privilege God wants you to manifest. Begin to manifest it in Jesus' name. I pray for you. May you be uncomfortable with the things, the deposits God has placed in you in Jesus' name. I didn't hear amen there. May you be uncomfortable. Praise the Lord. Isaiah said, he said, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. There is something God has placed in you for you to perform, to express, either in form of preaching, verbal preaching, or in a form of expression. We are all called to be preachers. We were made to understand this morning. And preaching carries multi-dimensions. We are meant, what it means is that we are meant to express the glories of God in whatever area we find ourselves. God has given us giftings. God has given us privileges that he wants us to begin to manifest. Praise the Lord. By the power and the mighty name of Jesus, may you begin to manifest those seeds, those giftings, those opportunities he has placed in your life in Jesus' name. I pray for myself too. I will begin to manifest it like never before in the mighty name of Jesus. So most of the time we are preconditioned ourselves to acting like a way when we are in a location per time. We have preconditioned ourselves. Saul had already preconditioned himself that was the way they were going to be at the mercy of the Philistines. Some of us have felt so comfortable where we are. Bible says, woe to him that is at peace in Zion. God has called us not to be comfortable where we are. He has called us to progressive Christian living. He has called us to glory and virtue. He has called us to exploits. Hallelujah. Daniel said, he said what? The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. The presence of God is not in you to exploit you, but it is there so that you can do exploits for him. And that presence of God will be made manifest in your life in Jesus' name. You must do exploits in the mighty name of Jesus. So Jonathan chose to break the tradition. The tradition is that he would have to write an application to Saul. Saul, I need to apply to take my leave out of the camp. But Jonathan had something. There was a deposit. There was something in him that didn't keep him comfortable. He said he was going to keep it to himself, but he just couldn't keep it to himself. And he had to step out. Sometimes we have to step out. Step out of the camp. Step out and meet with God. Step out and allow God minister to you afresh. Step out of your comfort zone, because that's where God wants to manifest himself. Amen. So let's go on. He said, then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over to this man, we'll discover ourselves unto them. If they say to us, he now wanted, put a condition. He said, if they say, tarry until we come to you, we will stand still in our place and will not go up to them. So that means that we need to be careful. There might be a destruction coming our way. But it went on. But he said, if they say, come to us, if they say, come, not just stay there, come. He said, we will go up. Why? For the Lord had delivered them into our hands, and this shall be a sign unto us. So they understood the expectations. They remember they put God in the equation. Inasmuch as we have passions, we have so many things, so many desires, we cannot put God out of that equation. It is called the G factor, the God factor. No matter how gifted you think you are, no matter how passionate you think your desire is, no matter how hungry you are for results, you cannot do without God. Praise the Lord. And in verse 11, it says, they discovered themselves, they moved to the garrison of the Philistines. And what happened? The Philistines said, the Hebrews, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they eat themselves. And the men of the garrison, they answered Jonathan and his armor bearer. Remember what they said. They said, if they say, come to us, it means that God is going to give us victory. Praise the Lord. And they said, come up to us. We will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me. For the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Remember the number. They had over almost, let's just say, they even talked about only the chariots and the tools. So, invariably, they had over 40,000 strong army. But they said what? Let us go. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and upon his feet, and the armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men, within as it were an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you see something remarkable there? Someone chose to go out of the norm, to leave the regular. And he says, with God by my side, I will win. Praise the Lord. They met the Philistines. Bible tells us, how many were they able to kill? 20. But you would have felt, wow, what a great feat. They killed 20, just two people. But God wasn't done with them yet. Hallelujah. God still had great things he wanted to do. And that we'll see as we move on. He said there was trembling. That was what happened there. Hallelujah. He said, after they had done this, there was a trigger. There was a trigger. He said there was a trembling in the host. Remember how strong that army was. And in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled. Hallelujah. And the earth quaked. So that there, it was a great trembling. Just the actions of two persons caused a huge army to begin to shake. And Bible tells us that not only did the army shake, even the earth shook. So what happened was that what? They took the step in faith and God responded. Hallelujah. God began to tap his leg. He began to tap his foot. Hallelujah. And what happened? The earth began to shake. It began to shake. God is looking for someone that he can say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. And that was what happened to Jonathan. God said, this is my beloved son. I am pleased with what he is doing. And eventually, there was a great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul, it was so strong that even Saul and the people in Gibeah of Benjamin, they looked and they began to look at the camp of the Philistines, Bible says the multitude melted away. Hallelujah. A great multitude. There was a shaking there. And they began to melt away. And what happened there? It says they went on beating down one another. When God does his thing, he does it beyond our own calculation. And that's why you find out in different ways, God brings victory through different dimensions. Sometimes he could bring it with you fighting the enemy, with the Israelites fighting the enemy. Let's concentrate on the Israelites. They will face the enemy and defeat them. Sometimes God will send an ambushment. An angel of death will just go and consume. Praise the Lord. Sometimes God will send a form of ambushment where they begin to face each other and begin to kill each other. I don't care how God does it. What is certain is that God will cause the victory to be ours in Jesus' name. In this situation, what happened there? They began to kill each other. They began to kill each other until they were greatly decimated. And remember, a 600-strong army of defeated people, people who were running, who were hiding, they began to come out. Saul said unto the people that were with him, he said, number now and see who is gone from us. They now said, oh, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not here. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring the ark of God. Hallelujah. Because the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Saul talked to the priests, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. God was fighting the battle for them. Hallelujah. And Saul said unto the priests, withdraw thy hand. Saul knew that God was doing something there. And so Saul and all the people that were with them assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, what they never imagined happened. Every man's sword was against his fellow. They started killing each other. The Philistines started killing each other, such that there was a great discomfiture. They were totally outwitted. Praise the Lord. He says, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, that went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even those that turned to be with the Israelites, that were with Saul and Jonathan, likewise all the men of Israel that had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they followed hard after them in the battle. So people who were running away, they began to become people who were running after people, chasing people, destroying them, totally bringing victory to the army of God. What happened? What was the seed that started this? One man's faith in God. One man's faith that said, I needed to take an action. I needed to take that move of faith. And he took that step. Do you know today God is looking for someone who can take that step of faith today? You might be looking, yes, I've taken some steps of faith. Yes. In fact, while God dropped this word in my spirit, I said, oh, this is a lovely church. Great and lovely people of God. I love the passion they have for the work of God. Maybe this message is not for them. They are too good for this message to be sent to. But God said, this message is for someone there. Praise the Lord. I don't know who that someone is. God is saying, do not be comfortable where you are. There are great exploits that God wants to do through you in Gap. There are great exploits that God wants to do through you beyond Gap. Do you recognize that you are the church of God? The Bible tells us that when the word of God grew mightily, it began to prevail. Praise the Lord. So it means that if to you as an individual, you allow the word of God to grow in you mightily, it will cause victories. You are going to prevail. not by your own wisdom, but by the word of God. Hallelujah. So God is telling someone today, take that step. In that your family, that problem that has been persisting, he's saying, take that step. That step could be for you to start, set up a prayer altar. It could just be just to set up that prayer altar. Keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying. Revival, great revivals happened because some people went into the closet and were praying behind the scene. We only sometimes we see the people who speak and results happen. But we have some people who were behind, taking the time to pray, taking the time to call on God, taking the time to draw heaven into earth. I remembered a story I learned, a man of God who was feeling like his church was doing so great. He felt so comfortable that, oh, this is happening. God, I thank you because my church is doing so great. It was almost getting to his head. Until God revealed to him the secret behind the move of God in his church. God showed him a woman that was just there cleaning. All she did was cleaning the church. But what she did was anytime she was cleaning, she would pray upon every seat and say, God, in the name of Jesus, as many that will sit on this seat, may they have an encounter with you. God, as many that will sit here, may they receive their healing. As many that will sit here, step into this auditorium, may they encounter Christ. And God was answering the prayer of one initiator. Praise the Lord. So the result you might get might not be so spectacular that everybody will say, you did it. But God recognizes. Heaven recognizes. In your family, heaven recognizes that seed that you are going to sow in that family. That person God is leading you to in your neighborhood. And you are saying, oh, I don't know how to do it. God is saying, take that step. Reach out to that person. That person is just looking for that trigger that will transform his life. And I pray God will lead us to those people in the mighty name of Jesus. I remembered how at some point, I was just having a flashback. There was someone in my apartment building where I was before that everybody felt was a weird guy. He was just on his own, a loner. And God was ministering to me, go and reach out to this young man. You know the religious mind. Why me? This guy should just continue his life. He doesn't even speak to anybody. You greet him, he doesn't even respond to you. But by the grace of God, God, I had to release myself to him. And God helped me. The guy was having lots and lots of challenges, including mental issues. But God, in his infinite goodness, ministered to him. Helped him. I introduced Christ to him. Today, he's beginning to grow. Hallelujah. In the things of God. What God might be leading you to do might be something as little as just drop that extra seed in the church. Drop it on the altar. God is looking for that. You might look at yourself and say, oh, I am not like Jonathan. I am not a fighter. But there are things you can do. There are things you have to offer. Praise the Lord. Bible tells us of Jael, who was the one who brought victory to the people of Israel. A woman. She got victory for the people of Israel. She ran a nail through the temple of the enemy. Amen. So, you have a place a role to play. You might ask yourself, okay, I don't like the sight of blood. But you know you have something. What is in your hands? God might be telling you, release it. Bible did not tell us so much about the young man who took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes to the meeting where Jesus was ministering. But one thing that we see that was remarkable there was that he allowed himself to make that thing available to God. He listened to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And God used that little to bring about the filling of over 5,000 people, 5,000 men, less women and children. So you imagine. So there were certainly well over 10, 15,000 people there. And yet they had 12 baskets full. Why? One person made himself available. He allowed himself to be that trigger. When we talk about the miracle there, can we talk about the miracle without talking about the 5 loaves of bread? No one knows his name, but he remained relevant. He started something that God used to glorify himself. Praise the Lord. God is looking for people who will take those steps. Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 25, Bible tells us that Balaam had already made a prophecy. He said that the only way to destroy the Israelites was what? For you to bring sin into their midst. And so the people of Israel, they went going out with the Midianites, messing themselves up. But Bible tells us that even at that time, Moses spoke to them and told them he wanted to bring judgment there. Praise the Lord. Let's go to that place. Numbers chapter 25. Numbers 25. Amen. God is looking for someone. God is looking for someone. Praise the Lord. He said, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they sacrificed and bowed to other gods. Let's go to 5. I said that Moses said to the judges, slay ye everyone, his man that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, while he was still saying it, one of the children of Israel, boldly, with so much effrontery, he brought a Midianite woman. This was the same problem they were trying to address. And he brought a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all Israel. And those who were weeping, people were repentant. But what happened there? Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it. And he rose up from among the congregation. And he took a javelin in his hands. And he went after the man of Israel in the tent and thrust both of them through. The man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. There was a punishment for sin. And yet some people continued. But Phinehas chose to be that man. And he took that step. And he pierced the people who sinned against God. God is not asking you to go and pierce anyone you see sinning. Praise the Lord. But the principle here is that what? When God drops an action in your spirit, do not waste time. You were called for that purpose. Take that step. Phinehas took that step. And because of that step he took, the plague that resulted in death of about 24,000 stayed, stopped. God wants to stop plagues in the earth today. There are so many plagues we see. The plague of adultery, the plague of fornication, the plague of moral immorality, sexual immorality, all manner of things. God is looking for a trigger. God is looking for an initiator. God is looking for a generator. Praise the Lord. What happened? Jonathan started something. All he did was to take that step. But the ripple effect continued. And God showed up and gave them victory. God will surely give you victory in the name of Jesus. God is looking for that one person who will take that action. That one person that will take the battle to the enemy's camp. God is looking for that one person that would say, I will be an overcomer. I will be an overcomer. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible says, it says they overcame the devil through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. He said they loved not their life to death. The people who will be those initiators are people who do not love their life to death. Are people who will say, if I perish, I perish. Are people who will say, I'm giving my life only to this cause. Are people who will say, whatever happens, I am not careful to answer you on this matter. If you want to kill us, we die. But I know my God will show up. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they said so. And what happened to them? Did they die? People who say, if I perish, I perish, they don't die. People who are willing to face it and take that step, that thing does not consume you. Rather, that challenge is consumed because God is backing you up. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Was she consumed? She did not love her life to death. She was not crazy and saying, I want to save my life. Bible says, he that seeketh to save his life shall lose it. But he that is willing to give his life will gain it. God is stirring someone up today. Enough of being afraid of that step. Take that step in faith. Allow God to lead the way. That battle you are having with that addiction, take that step today. Because God is going to give you victory. You are not going to be down in Jesus' name. Are you willing to put your life on the line? Jonathan did. Esther did. Daniel did. Shadrach and Abednego did. Paul did. In Acts chapter 21, from verse 10 to 14, Bible tells us that Agabus, a renowned prophet of God, whose prophecies came to pass at different points. In Acts chapter 10, he prophesied that there was going to be famine, and famine happened. So, in Acts 21, he was speaking. He came visiting, and through the power of the Holy Ghost, in 11, he says, he was come to us. He took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. That was a clear prophecy that he was going to be in. He was going to be arrested and be delivered to the Gentiles. And when they heard these things, both we, Luke was talking about this, and they of that place, they besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Because of that prophecy, they said what? Please play safe. Be smart. Be wise. But Paul answered in verse 13. He says, what mean ye to weep or to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. So, what is it about this challenge that I need to be afraid for my life? God is saying today, enough of being afraid of taking those steps. It is time for you to start taking those faith moves. Those faith moves, it is multidimensional. It could just be a move to advance your career. It could be a move to win souls. It could be a move to enhance the beauty of God in the church. It could be a move to bring healing to your family. It could be a move to stop plague in your family. Whatever it is, God is saying today, listen to my voice and begin to start taking those faith moves, and God will be glorified in Jesus' name. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. That's where I'm going to round up. Ezekiel 22, 30, verse 30. Okay. He says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. He said, I found none. I found none. Can you be relied on by God? Can God depend on you? Can God depend on me today? Can God find you to be that intercessor that will bring the glory down? Can God find you to be that person that will cover up the edge? I want us to just bow our heads as we talk to the Lord right now. Ask the Lord, Father, help me. Father, help my life. Help me, Lord. Find me worthy, Lord. I make myself available for you, Lord. There is a move on the face of the earth that you want to move. There are great things you want to do through me and with me, in my generation, in my family, in the body of Christ, in Glory and Peace Church. Father, open my eyes to it, to understand it clearly. Help me also to play my role as I ought to. Help me take that step. And Lord God, may you back me up with proven results in the mighty name of Jesus. Daddy, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking your word to us. I know there is someone that you are touching today. There's someone you are jolting from a sleep, from his sleep, and saying it is time for you to arise. It is time for you to stop hiding. It is time for you to come out boldly and take that step. Lord, I pray for your children, every one of us listening, that you are going to restore our relationship with you. You will help us to take those steps that will bring glory to your name. And Lord God, may the results, may these signs, may these wonders follow us. Proven results that will bring glory to your name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for answers to prayers, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let us quickly bring out our offerings as we pray. And as you bring it forward to the Lord, I pray God will bless your seed sown. God will bless the heart with which you are given this. God himself will honor you. Through your seed, God will bring divine speed your way, in the mighty name of Jesus. You are not going to lack any good thing. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. You will receive them ultimately, in the mighty name of Jesus. God will show up for you, in Jesus' name. Amen. And while we do that, we've come to a close. So we are going to pray and close for today. Father, we thank you so much for blessing us for today. Thank you for ministering your words to us. I pray that this seed you've dropped in our hearts, Father, may we not recover from it. May we not recover from it. Daddy, that word you have dropped in our heart to speak out, Daddy, may we not be comfortable keeping it in us. Help us to speak it out. Those actions you want us to take, as we move out of this place, help us to take those actions that will bring glory to your name. And we pray that your presence will go with us. And so we say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us both now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you all, and have a beautiful night, a blessed week, in Jesus' name.